Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mini.
And we're joined today by a special guest, somebody who we've actually had before a few years ago.
We had Ben in the pandemic, right?
Yeah, we had him whilst we weren't in this studio at that time. I think we were in the other studio.
No, we were behind our computers. And then we all came in here and no one was here.
No, I think we were here and Kriya was on the screen. We were at our other boardroom, at the time.
Yes.
So a lot has changed since then. And that's kind of how the show is, what we'll be talking about essentially today. Is how the changes have happened over the years. And, you know, I guess it's been a while since we've been able to speak about the electric sort of movements in South Africa. So this is a great opportunity for us to kind of unpack that, especially because we just had the Smart Mobility, which George was speaking at and that you kind of run. I think first things first, you are Ben Pullen, correct?
I am.
Last time we checked.
Last time we checked, yes. And you're currently still the chairman and founder of Smart Mobility, correct?
I am, yeah. There's been a few changes actually since I came into the ghost town office back in the pandemic. Mm. It was just the three of us.
Yeah.
So I guess the main thing is that the portfolio of events that I had built was basically taken on by Vuka Group, which has been a great opportunity for us to basically build on what we had already built, because Vuka Group is an event and media company that's been running for 20 years in Africa and operates in energy, mining, e-commerce, and now mobility, as we brought the portfolio to them. So we have a lot more resource, a much larger audience, and it's just enabled things to continue but also really grow. And I think that's been a great change for us as a business.
Yeah.
I think people forget that events businesses, while trying to drive an agenda around something like greener, cleaner energy, are still a business.
Yeah, ultimately.
Ultimately, an events business is still a business. Like Auto Trader is a business. We're capitalists. We're in it for profit. Although, as a matter of fact, I read something by Peter Drucker the other day.
Yeah.
It actually served on my phone because I've got this app that you should actually download it. What is this thing's name? I'll tell you afterwards. And what it does is every book you've read, it serves you highlights that you've highlighted in the book.
Okay.
So every 5 minutes it changes. Mm. So if you've highlighted a lot of highlights in a particular book that you've read on the Kindle, which is beautiful, it then serves you your highlight. And the other day I read a highlight that said, the purpose of a business is to create or keep a customer. That's Peter Drucker's quote. And people forget that events businesses are just that. They're businesses with profit motives, with customers. And you did so at a very, very difficult time.
It was, yeah. And I think events in general is really difficult because, bizarrely, you have all these different customers. And then you agree to deliver the service on the same date for everyone. So you say on this date, the 5th to the 7th of October, we will deliver you, my good customer, all the value. But you say it to all the customers. So you basically have like 600 customers on one day.
And everybody wants the best, right? So you have to kind of juggle all of that value that you need to deliver to everybody at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun and I think everyone enjoys the outcome. So I'm not going to sit here moaning. It's good fun.
For anybody who doesn't know what Smart Mobility is or wasn't able to go this year, exactly what is the conference and how has it changed? What are the big changes that you've seen over the last 3 years since the first one?
Yeah, great question. So we, as a portfolio, we're called Smarter Mobility Africa. So we focus purely on the mobility industry and we cover a number of different events. And one of those is Smarter Mobility Africa Summit, which is the conference and exhibition side of what we do, and it's really about bringing together the whole mobility industry, so all different spheres: the automotive sector, the public transport sector, walking and cycling, data mapping, GIS, the whole industry together. So it's bringing that industry together, and then really discussing, celebrating challenges, opportunities within the industry, technology innovations, different case studies and solutions. And we do that through conference format and then an exhibition. And we always add in the ride and drive element because people love to test out different products and vehicles. And so that's what it is. And it's been running now for four years. We launched it in 2019 with the Gauteng Department of Roads and Transport and with the National Department of Transport. And it's really developed as an event from a content perspective. I think in year one, it was very much electric vehicle focused, but it's evolved to cover the whole mobility industry since then. And it was great to be back in its first year of fully in person.
Yeah.
We did 2 years of pandemic events, which you guys worked with us on.
Mm. I think this question's for both of you, actually. In that 3 years, have you seen a change with regards to consumers and businesses kind of coming to the party with regards to EV adoption? I think maybe, George, you can go first. From consumer side, and then from a conversational side, and with the different businesses, are you seeing change?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the first thing is, you know, we're thankful to Smarter Mobility Africa and Ben for partnering with them and with Ben to create the first ever to surface the first ever EV buyer survey.
Yeah,
you know, I think without Smarter Mobility Africa, we would never have had a template to work with.
For sure.
Which now we have a template to work with. So I think that's what been one of the bigger changes.
Yeah.
In the industry is that now there's data, and there's data 3 years in a row in terms of how consumers see electric vehicles, their perception around them, their reality around them, and their expectations in the future. So for me, that's been the biggest thing, is this focus on electric vehicles. I know that Smarter Mobility Africa has become more than just electric vehicles, but that's where it started. For us as a partner with Smarter Mobility Africa, and it's really dovetailed with what we've seen on the main platform, which is the searches for electric vehicles, hybrid vehicles, you know, all new energy vehicles for that matter, have skyrocketed.
Yeah,
and we couldn't have partnered at a better time, because it was really just the beginning. I think we were first to market with a lot of the thinking around, thought leadership and what should happen, looking at other worlds or other countries and looking at their templates. And you guys have made it possible. So for me, that's the biggest change.
Yeah,
you sounded a bit Elon Musk-y then when you said looking at other worlds. So we're comparing ourselves with Mars now. How's EV adoption on Mars?
It hasn't yet happened. It's slow.
Okay, well, that's good to know. It's, I think something that you mentioned there is the fact that we didn't have data. We actually didn't know what people's sentiments and feelings towards electric vehicles were, specifically electric vehicles. But now we're even tapping into understanding what the sentiment for hybrid adoption is. Something that's kind of coming up now is people know really more about EVs than they do about hybrid tech. And something that came out of the first report that we did was there was a huge gap with people just getting education. Yeah. And we've seen that with hybrid tech as well. People don't necessarily fully understand exactly what is a hybrid car. And I think with EVs, the importance of getting that across the line is a lot higher. And without organizations like Smart Mobility and the partnerships that the industry has, it'd be very difficult for us to get to a place where we can even start to address some of the issues that we're finding. So it's quite interesting. However, in that time, George, have you spoken about this quite extensively, is we still haven't gone to a point where, from a legislation point of view, we're seeing some real change. Are you having conversations where we're seeing this potentially changing in the next few years?
Is that for me, that one?
Well, let's bet that one to Ben, because I find myself quite frustrated
with this point.
Yeah. I find myself frustrated in that we were saying 3 years ago, the government's not moving fast enough.
Yeah,
and here we are 3 years down the line, and we've got a green paper, and that's it. How does Smarter Mobility Africa see the changes, if any, and do you see a light at the end of the tunnel, especially with government support when it comes to hybrids and electrics?
I think we do. If we look at Smarter Mobility Africa Summit, there was one of the directors from Eskom that spoke about their ambitions to actually now transition their fleet of vehicles to electric. You see other organizations, private sector and public sector, that are seriously considering this now. And I think over the next few months, there's already been some announcements. I don't know if it's been that publicized at this stage, but in terms of organizations, whether private sector or government wanting to transition their vehicles to electric vehicles.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important step, because sometimes you need that indication maybe ahead of policy change,
mm-hmm.
Even though policy change at the start would be great. But I think those types of organizations showing demand for electric vehicle adoption mm-hmm. is going to drive probably some policy change. And then at the SA Auto Week last week, Minister Patel spoke. And actually, I can't quote too many things, but I guess the sentiment that I took away from that was that we are moving in the direction. And one quote that he made was, we will walk step by step with you, the automotive industry, in embracing this new electric vehicle landscape. So I guess that was quite reassuring.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that was probably the best government talk I've heard in a long time. Minister Patel is a smart guy, and it comes across. But to what degree is the momentum going to be gained? I mean, I suppose let's wait and see. But I suppose a good start is that there was a public forum commitment there when he spoke. So I'm cautiously optimistic. That's how I'm seeing it. I'm cautiously optimistic.
I'm going to loop back to your earlier quote, because this could tie in very well. So you mentioned, I think, Peter Drucker.
Yes.
So the only job of a business is to create a customer and
create or keep a customer.
Create and keep a customer. And I think this sense of creation of customer and basically a business responding to certain demands or needs of a customer. And I think actually what we're seeing is now that these organizations are starting to show demand for these products, the electric vehicles. And maybe that's the point in which government or policy is really going to change, because in many ways, certain departments that may be quite stretched with many different challenges they have on their hands might say, look, we don't see enough demand right now. Why are we going to bother spending the time to create new framework for maybe an industry that doesn't show that demand? But I think that's coming now, because you've got Eskom with a good few thousand vehicles. You've got G-Fleet in the Gauteng province and other parts of the country that I think have 40 to 50,000 vehicles. And if they start transitioning just a percentage of those, a few percent, then you start talking thousands of unit orders.
Yeah.
Which, what are we on at the moment in this country? 250?
Well, we're doing how many per annum? And we've got about
2,348 on the road. Yeah. Exactly. So we're seeing that doubling effect still occurring. We thought it was going to stop at some point. But it seems like the demand for EVs is just skyrocketing.
Yeah. Because if you imagine just one order from Eskom, for example, or from anyone, it would just completely, double what we've got right now on the roads. And I think that's probably the game change that we're going to see over the next 12 months. And there's different factors that will push that. And then I'm sure the policy and framework will change. But maybe it's just a case of, just as in a business, you need to see that demand before you really start to...
Yeah, you've got to justify the business case. I think you've got a really good point there. But for me, the business case is justified.
Yeah.
And the business case is the opportunity cost.
Mm.
It's not about proving whether it's coming or not. It's the opportunity cost. What is the opportunity cost? The opportunity cost is 60% of our manufacturer goes off the shore. Off our shores.
Mm.
So if government doesn't see that as a potential risk and opportunity cost in the policy framework very quickly, I don't know if you watched that Australian talk.
Gentleman who came in,
was scary.
It was scary
extremely
stuff.
Extremely stuff,
We've spoken about the Australia example before, that is the outlook for the South African automotive industry if we don't get that policy framework and incentives done quickly. But I think there's potentially a way to gain momentum, and that is by using corporate businesses that have fleets, as you put it, because those orders will be big. If the government just incentivizes, let's say, less company car tax. So at the moment, company car tax is sky high. That would incentivize companies to actually give employees company cars.
Is this from a starting point of perspective? You mean start with fleets, for instance, and then see that trickle down into the consumer market?
Well, I think they're going to have to address everything. It's not a you know, you've got to eat the elephant one bite at a time, but you've got to have a framework there that you know, starts somewhere and ends somewhere else. But I think there's lots of opportunity. It's just I want to see the first step.
100%. I mean, the nice thing is, you've kind of alluded to this already, is Minister Patel did say that the government is having these discussions, having them not just, you know, in the forum of the governments, but they're having them with OEMs as well. And I think it was NUMSA. So they're looking at the entire ecosystem and looking at the entire value chain, the supply chain of the vehicles, and seeing that this needs to happen, or we're going to get to a point where we are in Australia, which will have some drastic implications.
One other driver of the need to change as well is, it always blows my mind when you look at South Africa's biggest imports, and oil sits at the top. So all those rands leaving the country to buy oil to fuel vehicles, essentially, which, you know, you could really reduce that, and could be a great gain for the country and the GDP and the economy on a whole.
Yeah,
Eskom is not. You know, they did address that as well, in terms of identifying that electricity is not even just for consumers, but for the production of the vehicles. It was nice to hear them also address the fact that that needs to be kind of sorted out. And I'm really optimistic that from a renewable energy perspective, we're going to start seeing that also sort of happening, which is exciting. Moving on, George, you were speaking about it. So the EV Buyers Report, obviously it's out now. Can you take us through some of the findings that have come out of there? Maybe we can just talk about some of the key things and you know, the changes that have happened over the last 3 years.
Yeah, so I think the what we're starting to refer to as the Trinity has existed now across all three reports, and that Trinity is range anxiety, charging time, and price.
Yeah,
those three have existed for 3 years now in the report, and range anxiety in the report has dissipated a little bit. Consumers aren't as concerned about range anxiety as they've been, you know, in the first report versus the one that we just we just did. And given that, tells me that we're doing a good job at communication. Smarter Mobility Africa is doing a good job at kind of getting the points across, getting the education across the line. Charging time for an electric vehicle. Also, you know, people have concerns that they're going to be sitting for 6 hours at a stop somewhere charging a car. That has dissipated a little bit as well. And then the biggest elephant in the room is the price of the vehicle. The magic number is still 500,000 Rand. Although we've seen that consumers from the survey have indicated that they're willing to pay a little bit more than 500,000 Rand. Why is that? Because they see the lower running costs of these vehicles as a benefit, and so they're willing to pay a little bit more. Who's going to come into the country? And maybe this is a question for Ben. You know, have you heard anything about, you know, anybody that's going to potentially bring in a low cost EV? China, India. You know, who's going to do this first?
I have. I can name countries, okay, but I can't name brands at this stage.
Lovely.
China is one.
Lovely. Yeah, for sure.
India is another.
Okay.
They're the two that I know are, one more so than the other, is actively looking at launching next year. And then the other country is seeing what's happening over the next 6 months as an opportunity to actually make their move. And I think when I say what's happening over the next few months, you've got the ABB Formula E Cape Town EPRI race happening.
Yeah.
You've got the Electric Vehicle Road Trip Africa happening. You've got the electric event happening. So there's a whole load of activities that are going to keep pushing the market forward. Just those few activities, plus you have, you know, the EV car buyer survey, which is giving data points each year. So I think there are on the horizon. We had the funky EV at the Smarter Mobility Africa Summit, which I think you guys checked out.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, we do see some new car launches on the horizon. And I think one thing that came out of the survey that I just found fascinating and probably the most interesting point for many stakeholders was that technology potentially is overriding brand loyalty.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, brand featured in the part of the survey that you're referring to. Brand featured, I think, third last in importance.
Yeah.
You know, and technology, functionality, and aesthetics actually score higher than brand.
So historically, for context, historically speaking, brand used to be a lot more important in terms of when a consumer is choosing
brand
a car.
Loyalty. Yeah. Yes.
And you're saying now it's more so the actual technology that's much, it's overriding the importance from a...
I think it goes down to, I don't know what you think, Ben, but simplicity of the vehicle itself.
Mm.
It's just such simple technology that it's not complex. You don't have to rely on a brand because the technology is just so simple.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is?
Well, I'm gonna shame myself right now for the car I'm currently driving in Joburg. It's... and I don't know how far I should go with it, but it's a Renault.
Yeah.
And I'm using this as an example because I'm going to draw on the EV comparison. So I'm driving a Renault Kwid. It was a rental car. I see Julie's, why am I owning up to this? So I arrived in Joburg 2 weeks ago. The company's booked a rental car with one of the rental guys, and it was a Renault Kwid. I'm driving it. It's driving me crazy. It's not enjoyable. You know, many things I could say, not against the Renault brand, but this car, Kwid, by the way, means £1 in the UK. So
oh, yes, you're right.
I don't know why it's called Kwid, Renault Pound, Renault Rand. but I want to use this as an example because Renault also has the Renault Zoe, which isn't yet launched in this country, but it's an incredible car. It's an electric vehicle.
Mm.
And we've driven it around Europe, the Middle East during the road trips we ran. And I would have that car any day. It's amazing. And I think what that shows is Renault, I mean, they have other great cars. We know that, the Kwid not being one of them. But the Zoe, the electric Zoe,
yeah.
They're able to just put this car out, which is like top of the market and had been for many, many years. Obviously, other things have come along since. But suddenly, they've put this car out and it's incredible. It's electric. And you see other brands now like Mahindra and BYD and BAIC and other brands that maybe we hadn't even heard of, that they just launched the electric car and it's just amazing. It's like, wow, entry-level electric car. That is amazing. So suddenly they're elevated in the market in terms of the technology's overridden maybe previous brand perception of that car, that brand.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that goes down to the simplicity of the technology and potentially the ability for the OEM to focus on other things rather than an engine.
Yeah.
You know, the soundproofing of the car, the aerodynamics a bit.
The experience, right? The experience of driving of mobility. It's not just an A to B thing now, but the entire thing becomes an event. And you've seen that with some of even the high end guys that are, you know, kind of pushing the envelope of what is possible in terms of that experience. But you're right, it is literally changing the brand perceptions of different companies.
Mm.
And we'll see a shift. We'll see a shift for sure in terms of performance of brands.
We've had sponsors that have joined the road trip in other regions over the years, and they've been clear that this is an opportunity for them to put forward their electric vehicle model as a great brand building exercise because it just elevates the brand because the technology speaks volumes, and suddenly regardless of what their ICE vehicles are like, they're able to change perceptions of their audience.
So let's talk about those two things for a second, the road trip and the Formula E. You guys are involved in it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, we need some secrets.
Any secrets you want to kind of like, you know, once you've said it, yeah, the whole automotive industry is going
to
know.
Exactly, yeah. Well, no, we're very excited and grateful to be working with the organizers of the ABB Formula E Cape Town E-Prix. So we're working with them on a few events that sit within the E-Fest campaign that they run. So that's... the Electric Vehicle Road Trip Africa that will launch in Joburg finishes at the Electric event, which is part of the EFES campaign co-located with the Formula E. And that's a two-day consumer-facing clean energy and electric vehicle event. And then our sister brand, actually not our sister brand, but our colleague is working on the Africa Green Economy Summit that sits within that EFES campaign as well. So we're really excited about what Formula E is going to bring to South Africa and Africa.
Yeah.
I think it's going to really just push things forward so much. The consumer understanding is going to be elevated to a whole new level when it comes to electric vehicles.
So that's happening next year in Cape Town, correct?
Yeah. So the road trip launches 15th of February from Joburg, makes its way down through South Africa in a very leisurely way. with different activities, lots of different car brands. And then the grand finale is in Cape Town at Electric. And then Electric is 24th, 25th. So on the Friday, it's open to public. And on Saturday, it will be open to the race goers of the Formula E.
Nice. Nice. I hope we're there, George. We have to be there. Please, come on, I'm begging you.
Well, I remember 36 months ago, yes, somebody telling me, I can't let go of the exhaust. I need to be there.
I have to be there, and it's on camera. So
wearing a Lewis Hamilton t-shirt.
It's okay. Soon we'll get him there as well. Who knows?
Something that is worth noting actually is that this is season 9 for Formula E, and they're bringing out for the first time, it's the Gen 3 vehicle.
Yes.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And it does up to 200 miles an hour. So I've heard that's faster than the Formula 1 car. How fast do they go?
So Formula 1 cars go to about 333 odd kilometers. So 200 miles is what? That's about
320.
Yeah. So it's about the same amount of speed that you get out of it. So
there you go.
Yeah. Just as exciting.
But Formula 1 car needs
a really long run
to get there.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon the Formula E, while going to hit the same speed, is going to probably get there quicker.
Yeah. Probably if you look at average speed across the track, it's going to be a lot higher in the Formula E car.
Because that low-down torque is there. Although the hybrids in those Formula 1 cars are something else.
They're trying to deliver the same thing.
It's limited to the rubber at the end of the day.
That's pretty much all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, Ben and George. We'll see you at the next one.
Thanks, guys.